There aren't too many superstar economists, but you'd have to say Jeffrey Sachs is one. He runs the Earth Institute at Columbia University. He's also a special advisor to the United Nations, and he's worked as an economic advisor to a host of developing countries, from Bolivia and Poland to the nations of sub-Saharan Africa. He also hobnobs with celebrity philanthropists like Bono and Angelina Jolie. And he's written several books, most recently Commonwealth, Economics for a Crowded Planet. Sachs believes that economics needs a new model, one that's rooted in a vision for a sustainable future. And he says the United States is way behind the times.
We've been so big, we've been so successful, we've felt erroneously so dominant that we forgot the rest of the world. That was a kind of footnote or nuisance. So the starting point is we're 5% of the world's population in this country. We've been using 20 to 25% of key vital resources of the world because of our economic dominance. But the world as a whole, that means the other 95% of people on the planet, is changing at dramatic speed.
Well, you talk about 5% of the world population being the U.S. right now, and that is going to become even less as time goes on.
Of course, one of the things that's happening is that some parts of the world, not to their benefit, are still experiencing enormously rapid increases of population, Africa being the region with the fastest population growth because the fertility rates, the number of children per woman, are the highest rates in the world. And Africa, with about 800 million people now in the sub-Saharan region, could reach more than 1.5 billion in the sub-Saharan region of incredible stress, conflict, water scarcity, food scarcity by the middle of this century, unless everybody's a lot smarter in how we look to the future. In order to understand what it would mean to be sustainable in our economic strategy, we need a global vision, not only a local vision. It might be nice to think that turning off the lights or recycling our waste products will be sufficient. Those are good things to do, but they're not sufficient. Yeah. This is really the drama. Can we get serious again? Can we even focus on these questions? If we can, solutions do exist. This is the remarkable paradox.
We talked about the issue of the exploding growth of the world's populations. Are there things that we can do to slow it down?
Population is one of the simpler ones. Rapid population growth in the poorest places comes because women are having 6 or 7 children, and maybe 2 of them do not survive, 4 do. 2 of them are daughters. Each mother, in other words, is raising 2 daughters to motherhood. That means, in essence, that every 25 years, the population is doubling. That's an absolute drama. Now, these women would like to have fewer children if they had family planning accessible, if they had contraceptives, if girls weren't, because of poverty, forced out of school after 1 or 2 years, but could attend not only primary school, but even secondary school, and therefore would be marrying later, much more able to control their personal fate, their biological fate. What we've seen in places where family planning, contraception, and girls' education are made available, absolutely dramatic declines in fertility rates over the course of 10 or 15 years. So here's an area, of course, it was dominated by ideology. The United States not only did not support such an effort, the Bush administration cut off all funding for the United Nations Population Fund so that impoverished women that want to have fewer children cannot do so.
What about extreme poverty? I mean, that seems almost intractable, especially in places in Africa and Asia. Is there something that government or international aid organizations can do?
Extreme poverty means not being able to meet the most basic needs of safe water, enough food, a basic livelihood, children in school, access to the most basic kind of health care, for instance, to stay alive from a bite of a mosquito carrying malaria. Turns out, you look at the components, most very poor people are farmers. but the amount of crop that they get per season is tiny because by virtue of their extreme poverty, they can't buy better seeds and better fertilizer even to get started out of poverty. The government of Malawi 3 years ago, in a project that I am proud to have worked on, was able to get a voucher ticket to all of their impoverished farm households. It gave these impoverished households that had no cash at all the right to get a couple of bags of fertilizer and a bag of seed. From 1 year to the next, the food production doubled. This is almost unimaginable. It wasn't 20 years to double the food supply. It was from the 2005 growing season to the 2006 growing season.
What did it cost?
And the cost of that was under $100 million, which is so insignificant considering we spend $1.1 million a minute on the Pentagon, just to give you one metric. It would mean 10 cents from each person in the rich world. Rwanda is another case where they were enabled to get bed nets for all of the sleeping sites in the country, and malaria deaths are just being brought down to extraordinarily low levels.
Just from bed nets? Just from mosquito netting over the sleeping quarters?
Mosquito netting and, I should say, access to medicines if you still get the bite. So that's the formula, that you protect to prevent, and in case of an infection, that there's access to the 80-cent pediatric dose to save the child. That combination has brought down malaria probably by 80 or 90% over the last 2 years. We're waiting for the most updated numbers, but the hospitals, which were clogged with children dying of malaria, now have open wards because the children are not coming in. The disease burden has been reduced dramatically. These are just examples of tremendous progress. I could mention measles. I could mention polio. I could mention deforestation, also rampant and destructive for many reasons. But again, economic incentives and better strategies could lead to sustainable use of the forest. A remarkable example. Recently, the government of Norway offered $1 billion to Brazil for a program to avoid deforestation of the Amazon. Wonderful, generous, wise, rational. Norway's doing it for Brazil because Norway understands this is a global challenge. Can you imagine the United States offering Brazil $1 billion to avoid deforestation?
Well, let's hope we can.
I hope we can, but Norway is 1/75th of our population, and they're out leading. This is only to say that the United States has really lost the melody, and we need to get it back.
That's economist Jeffrey Sachs, special advisor to the United Nations and author of Commonwealth: Economics for a Crowded Planet.